Welcome to Business Jazz with Paul Omani and Roger Overall. The podcast about how to be genuinely attractive in business today.
I know enough to be dangerous.
Wow, I know enough to be dangerous. Actually, that's a great sentence. I could start a poem with that. I know enough to be dangerous. That, who the devil is speaking? What does dangerous mean? There's an immediate, what the devil's going on? Dangerous to whom? Yes.
Welcome to Business Jazz. The podcast.
Oh, God,
yes. The podcast about being dangerous. The podcast for dangerous companies. Companies that are living on the edge, the perilous edge of failure and success.
Yes, well, I'll tell you one chef who knows enough to be dangerous. You're going to have to tell me what the chef is cooking, because I can't remember right now.
Right.
This is a Japanese chef.
Oh, fugu.
Who is preparing a fish.
A fish. Fugu fish, I think they're called. Yes.
Yes. And if the hugu.
Fugu.
Fugu fish is not prepared exactly correctly, what happens, Roger, to everybody at the table?
Well, if you've eaten it, you die.
That's right. That's dangerous then, isn't it?
That is dangerous. I think it's a highly licensed kind of chef that does it. That very years of training, a master.
And you have to have killed a few people so you can adjust your work so that, you know, you don't put that much in. How on earth do they test it on animals?
I don't know. You'd love to know what the apprenticeship system is there, wouldn't you? It can't be trial and error. Let's face that.
That's what we're talking about.
It can't be trial and error. There we are.
Oh, my goodness. Right. What are we going to talk about on the podcast today, Roger?
I think, having teased it for two episodes, we should now talk about your Apple experience. Because for two episodes, we've alluded to it, and then we've not done anything with it. And do you know what? I think that, if you want to be genuinely attractive in business, that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to treat
it. You mean teasing people is not?
No, you can tease them to a certain extent, but you can't keep doing it. You can't keep saying, we're going to give you this thing, or we're going to talk about this thing, or this amazing thing happened, or this brilliant thing is going to happen. That's one of my pet peeves. A lot of podcasters and YouTubers do it. I've got this great thing to tell you, but I can't tell you just yet.
Yes, and they have to sell you something first. Okay. This breaks my heart to do the Apple one. Not that I don't want to tell the story.
Oh, well, you've got the best one.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. And, of course, it may be a and it isn't urgent. You know, I have a business. I can't call it a business because, you know, when we use the word how to be genuinely attractive in business today, we don't mean that you have to own a company. Business is your job. So I am, and in theory, that could be how to be genuinely attractive in cooking in your kitchen, says he, thinking out loud. But I'm thinking about a conference that I'm part of the organizing team for, and in my head I realize that I've got so much to do that I can treat it as if it were a business, and it's occupying my time, my attention, my energy, and it is occupying all of those things in such a way that the opportunity cost is quite high. In other words, I could be doing quite a lot of other things at the same time, but I'm not. This is a very important business to me. And the question, I was looking for some advice from you, actually, on how can I be genuinely attractive when doing my job on this team, because I am the marketing person for this team. So, I mean, that's a job. That's a business. There are people to be attracted. They've even got to be attracted to buy something. So there's something being sold. And apart from anything else, they're selling, they're buying time. Anyway, all of that is what I bought. The conference isn't until the 11th and 13th of May. So apart from the fact that I was at a committee meeting on Saturday afternoon and it's very vivid in my mind, and I have to complete a newsletter later on today, which has got about 15 items on it.
That's a long newsletter.
Let's do Apple.
Very, very quickly, what's the key concern then that you have surrounding your role as marketeer for this conference?
The key concern, the whole bloody lot. Let me just think for a second. Key concern. Well, it's my job to make the business genuinely attractive so that a whole load of people come to it.
Because I can hear two things. On the one hand, I can hear you say, my job is to make it genuinely attractive so people come.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, I sense a feeling of being overwhelmed by the magnitude of the responsibility or the magnitude of the number of tasks that need to be completed.
So let me, okay, in relation to me sounding overwhelmed, I have to admit, I was dramatizing it so that I could make it sound, you know, pretty important. It is important, but I'm not floundering in a swamp, I have to say. I would if I was way behind schedule, but it's hard enough, you know?
Well, people can be working away and have a huge number of tasks to do, huge things to do. Doesn't mean they're floundering, because they're working away. It's just that they can feel the weight of the tasks that they need to do resting on them. And it doesn't necessarily mean they're not doing anything. It just means that they are chipping away, doing the work, but that there's so much stretching ahead of them that they almost can't see the end in sight, or they can't see. It's like a marathon, an endless marathon. So it doesn't necessarily mean that nothing is happening, and doesn't necessarily mean that people don't have any direction. It just means that they can have that sense of, oh my goodness, this is a massive task.
And I have got to remember, and thank you for making me remember this, I have got to remember that the success of this business is not dependent on me. I do not have to regard the success of getting people to come to the conference in the right mood and feel welcomed. I do not have to regard that as, you know, my sole responsibility. I'm one of a team. And even if I dropped out today and never did anything else, the team will pick up the job and do their best. And on top of that, the customers are somewhat motivated to come to the conference. So it isn't, you know, that I have to somehow or other succeed in persuading people who have zero interest to come to Cork at the same time as the final match in some, you know, it's Manchester United versus Liverpool or the Super Bowl or whatever else they might be interested in doing. They are Toastmasters and they are already motivated to come. But it's still a job.
It is a job. And I think, as you say, because we've spoken about this conference, it's a big conference, it's an international one, and there's an element of competition involved in it as well, if I understand correctly. Is that right? Or is that not...
No, that's not a relevant factor. I mean, the competition is that this is to be an even better conference than the one that was in Sheffield, than the one that was in Manchester, than the one that was in Dublin, that the one was in other places. This is to be the best. Yeah,
Paul, let me put you at ease. I've lived here for 14 years now in Cork, and what I've come to learn is that you're absolutely 100% safe, because Cork is the best place in the world. And you have seen, I'm sure, the map of Ireland, which has County Cork, and it says Cork, and then the rest of Ireland, all lumped together, no distinction between any of the other counties, and it says not Cork. So straight away, you're bringing people clearly to the best part of Ireland. Now, Ireland has a massive international reputation as being a phenomenal place to come. Your job is done.
Already.
Already.
So they can come to Cork for a... Yeah.
How to be genuinely attractive in business today? Set up in Cork, Ireland. There you are. Done.
Who hired you? Have you got a new job to market Cork?
I'm ingratiating myself to Corkonians. Obviously, I live here. So, well, and I may well actually, yeah. And talk, I mean, I jest, but... I may have to formally become a Corkonian.
Impossible. With an accent like yours, yeah, you will never, I'm afraid. Best chance you have is that your daughter might pick up an accent at school. But other than that...
Oh, my daughter was born here, for goodness sake. She's Corkonian through and through. Right. But yeah, if not Cork, I will need to...
Mine was born in Bath.
There you are.
But she would actually say that she was from Cork.
Yeah.
Now, look, are we sticking this topic or are we going back to Apple?
Let's go back to Apple, because otherwise people are going to think, right, if you don't talk about Apple in this episode, I will personally fly to Cork because I hear it's a good place. And while I'm enjoying Cork, I will seek you out and I will make life difficult for you. Apple, right. I have a love-hate relationship with Apple. And usually when we talk about Apple on this program, it's me complaining about Apple. But we're not going to do that. We're actually going to say something good about Apple.
Well, let me start off and say that I'm aware that in the current context, global context, people are beginning to question Apple. Some people are beginning to leave Apple. People who were previously mad, raving fans of Apple. Apple... should be careful. Now, I'm talking about global trends. Perhaps I'm not being accurate about China, but I have picked it up, basically, that, and particularly in the context of Apple recently having done something to their smartphones to slow them down in order to make the battery last longer. So it all happened in that context. That's relevant. The problem I had, Roger, was that I decided that my iPhone 6, which has, it turns out, been recharged over the equivalent of, I think, 10,000 times since I got it.
How did you find that out?
The man from Apple ran a test on my phone, because he took over control of my iPhone and somehow got that data. I say 10,000, it may have been 3,000 times, but it's well over the battery life.
Right.
Okay, what actually happened is that, having heard everything about the Apple giving a great offer on a very inexpensive new battery, I ring up Apple and I say, I'd like to find out if I can go to Belfast and have my phone given a new battery. Can I make an appointment? Now, for people listening here, to go to Belfast on one day, take your iPhone to the only Apple store in Ireland, pass it over the counter and come back after you've had 10 cups of coffee or something like that, pick it up and get back on the train and get down to Cork in one day. Most people in Ireland would regard that as crazy.
Let's just do the geography for people who don't live in Ireland. We are on the south coast of Ireland.
We go, first of all, to Dublin by train. We get into Dublin, which takes, we'll say, 3 hours to get to Dublin by train, maybe a bit quicker. Then change train stations. So you have to move between train stations in Dublin via another train system. Then get a train to Belfast, which I'm assuming is about an hour and 15 minutes. It could be a little longer. Then you walk to the Apple store, and I don't know where it is. And you go in there and you hand it over and they say, I wanted them to say, thanks very much, come back in 3 hours. And then you do the reverse journey. And apart from one thing, you're going out of one jurisdiction into the other. You're going from the Republic of Ireland into Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK. So all of that, I have to speed up on telling this story. So I ring Apple. A guy from Apple asked me why I want a new battery, asked me what I've got installed on my phone, and I say I've got 10.3.3, and he says, oh, there's the problem, you haven't got the most recent iOS software installed. And I say, yeah, but I've heard that iOS 11 will even slow my my iPhone 6 down. I have been told that by somebody. And he says, let's check something. He said, have you got your... Oh, no, he says, no, that won't happen at all. No problem at all. And he says, okay, let's install 11 and we'll see. And so he says, is your iPhone backed up? And I say, yeah, but I'm not sure everything is backed up on it. So he says, okay, plug it into your laptop. And that's where the problem begins. I say, well, actually, something's gone wrong with my laptop this morning because I was installing the latest software from Apple on my laptop, which is a MacBook Pro 13-inch. And he says, oh. Now I'll have to pass you over to somebody who's an expert on MacBook Pro. So he was very good. No, so I'm thinking, okay, he cares, he's going to help me, fair enough. But it was what happened next that astonished me. I get through to this guy. I was transferred beautifully from one to the other, I have to emphasize. I get this other guy, and this other guy asks me, what's wrong with your MacBook Pro? Now, I'm going to short-circuit everything. I spent about 6 hours on the phone with the guy from Apple. And my summary of the situation is that, of course, as I expected, he was technically competent. I mean, if he wasn't technically competent on Apple MacBook Pro and everything to do with what had gone wrong with it, there would be, you know, I'd be here anyway, I'd be saying something different. But what he managed to do was read me in the sense that he noticed how I was talking, and somehow or other the way he spoke to me was exactly the way I wanted to be spoken to. I didn't tell him how I wanted to speak to him. He accurately worked out my level of technical competence, so that during the entire 6 hours I felt, one, I was being spoken to by somebody who cared. Number two, I was being spoken to by somebody who was attentive to my preferred method of communication. And thirdly, he had extraordinary patience. And his level of patience and my level of patience clicked. And fourthly, at no point in the entire 6 hours did I ever get any hint from him that I should hurry up. Now, I should say that the 6 hours went on over about 4 days. I ended up gradually thinking, okay, this is worth doing, because it was a lot at stake. My MacBook Pro wasn't booting up, right? There was something serious, and my worst case scenario was the hard disk had been, you know, something gone wrong with the hard disk, all the data had been wiped out, I had the catastrophic, you know, I'm worried stuff in my head. But what was I going to say, Roger, there a second ago? I was going to say something about, oh, yes, I had endless patience. I decided, look, this is the most important thing for me. I will stay on the phone with this man and I will not try to hurry him. I will not try to hurry him. And he didn't try to hurry me. And, okay, the good thing is everything got solved. Everything got sorted. Now, it wasn't the Apple guy's fault, I think, that in the middle of it, I had to go out and buy a 4 terabyte storage device to do it, because a new, clean, totally clean storage device was needed. Everything was cleaned off my laptop. My laptop was completely cleaned down. Everything was put on an external place, and then everything was reinstalled, etc., etc. But I said to myself, my goodness, the customer service from Samsung, the customer service, because all of this was done for the sake of me getting a new battery on my iPhone. That's where it all began, really. Otherwise, I'd have had to get my laptop fixed anyway. But I have to say, finally, not only did the guy do all this for me, but he said to me, hold on now a second and I'll send a message to Belfast Apple, or to the people who do Belfast Apple, and in a few days you will get an invitation and an appointment to go to Belfast. It may take a little bit longer than you'd hope, because so many people are looking for batteries. I'm not sure what their stock is. And hey presto, I did get that email and I will be going to Belfast. But I won't be leaving Apple. You see, I've begun to think perhaps I should be leaving Apple because the iPhone isn't the most advanced features under the sun. I hear lots of people saying nice things about Android. But as far as I'm concerned, the customer service from Apple has made me say that the most important thing of all is not the technical feature on the iPhone. Because frankly, I don't use all of the technical features anyway. But it is actually more what will happen if something goes wrong. And as far as I'm concerned today, speaking here, unless it's substantially better than Apple, and I don't mean just as good, unless it's substantially better than Apple, I'm not switching from Apple. So that is my Apple story.
So Apple have made themselves genuinely attractive to you through what can only be described as first-rate customer service.
Yes, and you know what? It's the detail. It's the astonishing ability, I think, of the guy at the other end of the phone to speak to me in a way that I found totally ideal.
It's what interests me about that is, and I've had an experience with Apple customer care as well, which also was very good. And what sticks out for me was when I rang them, I ordered something. I can't remember what it was. It was an audio thing. I can't quite remember what it was. However, it was completely inappropriate. Not only did I order it, I accidentally ordered 2. And I couldn't deal with the issue because I was travelling. So Anne, my wife, did. And she said to me that she had the most amazing call because, first of all, she got through to somebody. Which, let's face it, that doesn't always happen when you're trying to find customer care and customer services. You don't always get through to somebody. She got through to somebody and she explained what the situation, she explained what I had done, which was, just to reiterate, I'd ordered 2 of the wrong thing. And the first thing that this lady said to Anne was, oh, I do apologise. And I thought, what an interesting way to start a conversation by immediately taking responsibility for my mistake. Anyway, the whole thing was sorted out very easily, very quickly. No problems whatsoever. 2 things were sent back and money was reimbursed and it was sorted. And that left a very favourable impression on me as well. Now, what's interesting is that on the one hand, you have a company who refuses, that refuses to, on its, if you like, marketing side, to talk to people properly. It's very hard to have a conversation with Apple about issues in the public space. So what are you doing with your technology? Why are you lagging behind? Why are you overselling the abilities of your products when quite clearly your competitors are ahead of you? Why are you emphasizing certain things and being very proud and puffing your chest out about certain things when your competitors have been doing them for a very long time? Why are you not addressing the shortcomings, or acknowledging the shortcomings that people are having? The whole issue around the battery, for years, people have been saying, do you know what, I've noticed my iPhone just becomes very, very, very slow. And typically it happens just before the release of a new product. What's going on? So conspiracy theories abounded. Apple, silent on this topic. Absolutely silent. They have been forced, more or less, to acknowledge the issue with the batteries, that they incapacitate your phone, or they reduce the capacity of your phone to match the reduced capacity of your battery over time. They've been forced. They didn't come out and say, with no context whatsoever, oh, actually, do you know what? We should tell you this. No, they were forced into admitting this. So on the one hand, you have this very secretive company. From a creative point of view, creatives who've invested in the Apple system don't know whether they should continue to invest in Apple, because there's no clarity from Apple what's going to happen. There is even a rumor that Apple are going to get rid of all the computers.
Oh, I remember you saying that on Business Jazz before.
Yeah. Now, it hasn't happened. However, they never addressed that. The only time they actually addressed something was when they came out with their new suite of products, which is a week after Microsoft, the big enemy, if you like, came out with a whole new suite of products, and people were astounded by the innovation of these products, by the beauty of them. And then a week later, Apple, or very soon afterwards, Apple came out with its new products, and they were clearly inferior. And people were left wondering, well, have Apple given up? And on that occasion, because Apple didn't intervene and they didn't tell their side of the story, didn't do anything, the story was told for them by people. And they very rarely have this one instance where they brought four journalists together to have a conversation about what they were planning. And they didn't do it as a broad thing. No, they selected four hand-picked journalists to do this. So anyway, this is just a very long-winded way of me ranting on about the fact that on the one hand, you have an extremely secretive company that isn't very human, that doesn't like communicating, that refuses to communicate, and will only communicate when it's hauled over the coals and held accountable by people who've accidentally found something that Apple have been doing. Only then will they communicate. Contrast that with your after-sales experience that could not be more human, that could not have been more attentive.
Just one little thing in relation to the after-sales service. You see, it didn't take place in a vacuum. I'd heard somewhere that when you ring Apple and they're dealing with you from a customer service point of view, that they are not rewarded for how quickly they can deal with you, that the culture in Apple, that the standards that Apple have, is that they stay with you until the issue is fully resolved. Now, that was what I was vaguely aware of in the background. I had never experienced this in practice. But if I tell you that during the entire time with Apple, I realized that this guy was spending almost an entire shift. I found out what time he started working in the morning and what time he was due to finish at. And I could tell that he may deal with two other people in the entire day other than me. Mm. And I thought that was, it didn't, you see, Apple's brand is, for me, was strong in that, because that's terrific. I've been on innumerable customer service calls where I felt that the person wanted to shunt me off as quickly as possible. And there's one extra thing I wanted to add in, which I omitted to mention earlier. You know how when you're doing customer service about something wrong with your computer, and for example, they want to take over your computer or some process, we have to wait for something to load up.
Yeah.
What happens in that silence? You know, we're waiting, the person is staying there. Now, in some companies, they say, I'll go and take another call and I'll come back to you. This will take about 10 minutes. I'll be back to you in 10 minutes. And what goes through your mind, we won't rehearse or mention. But on this particular case, during those gaps, first of all, I found out that he wasn't based in Cork, because Apple have a huge customer service, a couple of thousand people doing customer service in Cork, and that he was based in Portugal, that he was based in Lisbon. And I said, oh, I've been to Lisbon. We end up chatting, well, we start chatting about what restaurant I've eaten in Lisbon. I have eaten in one very, very top-class restaurant there. He knew it. He knew where it was. We end up talking about where the Apple customer center is in Lisbon and how close I've been there. And then it gets better. Then it gets into, as time goes on, you know, where I said to him something like, where would you recommend I go to in Portugal? You know, I've been to Portugal a number of times. You know Portugal, you know well. Where would you suggest I go in Portugal for a holiday? And this is where he was really superb, because he did not answer. He said to me, well, tell me the things you are interested in when you go on holidays. So he didn't recommend a place. He came back to me and I said, okay, let me think. Good views, beautiful scenery. I probably said food first. And I certainly said, I'm not much interested in, history. And I said, I'm not fussed at all. I don't lie around on beaches. Now, having got those three or four bits of information from me, he then recommended a specific place which had, he said, all of these features. And I thought to myself, is how many times have people said to me, where do you recommend I go? I'm coming to Cork, where do you recommend I go to? And I'm quite sure that on more than a few occasions I've said, well, the best coffee place is this, this, and this, and this. And I haven't said to them, which do you prefer, coffee or tea?
Yeah.
Or what do you drink? And that whole thing about, first of all, finding out what criteria the other person will use in order to make up their mind whether your recommendations are relevant or not, that's vital. The other thing is how many people have said to you, you said, hey, have you read anything? Would you recommend a book? Is there any book you could recommend to me, Roger? And you might then think for a minute, here's one I recommend. But on the other hand, the average person will say, because you might be exceptional at this. Well, what I mean to say is that the average person will not go back and say to me, well, tell me now, Paul, what kind of a book would you like to read next?
And we have to stop there. I have to act as the alarm clock. So I'm going to do that, unfortunately. Mid-sentence. Literally mid-sentence. I apologize. Paul, where can people find out about you?
On the Show and Tell Communications website, but also on, Show and Tell Communications .net website, and on Twitter and some other places as Omani Blog, OmaniBlog.
Thank you very much for listening. You can find out more about the podcast, businessjazz.net. You can find out more about me, also on showandtellcommunications.net.
What's your name?
My name's Roger. Pleased to meet you.
Roger who?
Roger Overall. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen. And if you enjoyed if you enjoy the episode, if you enjoy the podcast, could you do us a favour, just with our marketing hat on, would you mind telling one other person about the podcast? Thank you very much.
Oh, by the way, tell them it's free.